Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are not good. The Brewers fall 4-2 in game one of this three-game set to the Minnesota Twins. What's going on? Tim Allen punched in, ready to go. Here we go again, day by day. That's a good thing. The bad thing is the final score in this one. Austin, Texas is with us tonight as well. And the Brewers, guys, you can't blame the pitching staff in this one. Right back to repeating performance of the Brewers. Now they are averaging as a team offense now back under four runs a game. And you're not going to win these games like this. Your pitching staff can only do so much. And I do commend the pitching staff in this one tonight. Despite the grand slam given up by Adrian Hauser, I mean, that's the one he wants back. There's no question. And that, no doubt about it, was our turning point in the game. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. For event and track rental details, check out greatlakesdragway.com. That was the turning point. Third inning, Adrian Hauser gets beat on by that... Well, by a strange situation, and we'll get to that in our game recap. We'll hear from manager Craig Counsell coming up in just a little while. A little bit of a frustrating affair here for the Brewers offense once again. Just cannot string the hits together. Just can't put up the crooked number. Yeah, once in a while they get it. Yesterday they got it. Six-pack of runs in the sixth inning. In this one, let's go back into our game recap. You want to comment on this one. I want to get to a conversation a little bit later on about what we talked about on the On Deck show today, and that is the solution to the St. Louis Cardinals situation. So I want to get into that a little bit later. Stick around for that. But if you want to comment on this game and get your reaction in, 414-799-1250. First inning, just eight pitches for Adrian Hauser in a 1-2-3 frame. We'll take that. Brewers, here's where you never know with this team. Well, you never know with this game, number one. But with this team, you don't think it'll come back to haunt you, but it does. It does. It's hair splitting on runs scored. You got to take advantage right now. Of all times, you have to take advantage of trying to scrape some runs across. Who cares how you do it? Even if it's one, doesn't matter, man. Get a run on the board and see what happens, because the pitching staff has been doing their job this year. Leadoff walk by Sogard. Keston Hira, then a base hit. This is in the bottom of the first, guys, to lead off the game. Now, we've seen here over the course of now, what, 14 games? With a 6-8 mark, that, you know, these runs early can help. The Brewers have been scored upon early. They've been coming from behind. They've been attempting to come from behind to get some victories, seemingly all season long. But this is the situation you have to take advantage of. You get a guy off his game a little bit. That's the other starter, and you get a couple of runners aboard. Yelich then hits with two on, nobody out. Bottom of the first, no score. Yelich hits a ground ball to right. He gets the runners over. Whatever. I mean, you'd like him to do some damage there, but he got the runner over. Now get a sac fly, get on the board. Get on the board, take the lead. One zip. Justin Smoke strikes out. And then, now this is hard luck here. Avisail Garcia. I mean, hits an absolute frozen rope rocket to center field. Buxton makes a play on. There's two runs right there. Now, again, I blame more Justin Smoke, obviously, than the Garcia at-bat. But a little bit of bad luck there as well, as no score for either team in that first inning. Second inning, two out base hits by the Twins against Hauser in that second. But Hauser buckles down and gets a big strikeout to Buxton to end that frame. Brewers on the board in the bottom half. There you go. Get the lead. Luis Urias, by the way, called up. If you haven't heard, Logan Morrison was designated for assignment. His days are done in a Brewers uniform. According to him, he's not going to take a minor league deal. That's what he told us back in March. But they call up Luis Urias. They acquired him in the trade with the San Diego Padres, the Zach Davies deal, as we call it. In his first at-bat in a Brewers uniform, he does this.
I'm sure he's got some nerves flowing today here, though, as he shoots one into right field. How about that piece of hitting?
Yeah, nice.
So a little pepper there by Luis Urias and a single to right.
Yeah, pitch and run, pulled the hands in, just shot it into right. Not trying to do too much, just putting the ball in play. There's a good start to his season. Batting 1,000. Beautiful piece of hitting by Luis Urias.
Get that one out of the way.
Pulled the hands in and just able to get the barrel of the bat on it and shoot it into right.
That's a great hitting lesson right there.
There it is, his first base hit in a Brewers uniform, and it paid off. One out later, Orlando Arcia.
3-2 the count. Runner goes. Arcia turns on one. Back on it is Rosario, and Rosario can't make the play. Urias will score easily. Arcia into second base with an RBI double. Well, it looked like Rosario was there, but he just whiffed it on the leap.
He went up, and for a second I thought maybe he had it in the glove, but he went up, went off the top of the glove, and Arcia picking on a hanging slider, knocking it out of here. So Urias scores on the Arcia double.
Yeah, we'll take that, a one-zip lead, but that didn't last long. Hauser in big trouble in the third. A leadoff base hit, and then an infield single. Now, that's some rough luck too, guys. I will say this. You can call me a whining Brewers fan right now, but been doing this a long time, 15 years. I haven't seen this many infield singles hit against the Brewers in all of these 15 years. I don't know what it is this year about infield singles, but there are tons of them being hit against the Milwaukee Brewers. So you get two on right there and nobody out. Hauser into some trouble, and then this happened.
In the air, long run for Yelich. Slicing into foul grounds. Oh, what a play by Yelich. The ball popped out, and the umpire is going to say no catch.
No, he's not going to give him the out.
Have to show it to the umpire. Yelich was claiming that he was taking the ball out to throw.
He certainly keeps it in the glove. Right there, that's an out. I mean, that's got to be called an out. Of course, he kind of loses it right there. Maybe not.
He's got that gold patch on his glove. He was a Gold Glove Award winner with the Marlins.
I guess he's saying that he hit the barrier and dropped it. That's what is going to cost him the out. But Craig Council doesn't agree.
He's going to challenge this now.
It's that rule in fair ground, when the guy catches a ball, runs into the wall, and drops it.
I feel like this will be determined by how slow the slow-mo will be. Tough to overturn here. Council is good. Just give it a try. You never know. The crew chief, Jerry Meals, the first base umpire, will give us the ruling. Okay, here we go. You can't see. Oh, foul ball.
Yeah. Tough to overturn that. I agree.
Mask is off. Glasses unfogged. No, we can see again.
Yeah, and there it is on Fox Sports Wisconsin. And really, we learned about this yesterday when Eugenio Suarez, or was it the other day? It might have been Saturday's game. He dropped the ball, taking it out of his glove. Nothing was said then. Now, this did change the complexion of this inning. You get another chance for Polanco. And it was a ground ball. It was a fielder's choice out that was off the bat of Polanco. But if you record the out there on the foul ball, Polanco never hits. And then it goes to Nelson Cruz. Then Cruz is delivering delivered a different sequence of signs. There's different pitches thrown. There's all sorts of things that turn out a little bit different. Cruz then, like I said, was hit by a pitch to load the bases for Rosario. And that was the big blast, the grand slam, 4-0. You know, you can survive with the solo shots, but the three-run shots, the grand slams, obviously, those are the ones that get you. And the Brewers, with this offense, guys, how'd you feel when it was 4-0? In the third inning? In the third inning? 4-1 in the third inning? Yeah. Brewers have a tough time. They're not even averaging 4 runs a game. So that was just about your ball game right there. Damage done. That sucks. Yelich, a one-out base hit in the bottom of the third inning. Nothing doing for the Crew in terms of run production. Holding pattern right here at 4-1 the score. Through the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Both starters out of the game after 5 innings. Hauser, 4 runs on 6 hits. Freddy Peralta enters and throws scoreless 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings while striking out 8 in the performance. We got to get to that conversation as well. Wow. I mean, it looks like Craig Counsell's starting to figure out this piggyback situation. The Brewers in the 8th inning did get a little closer off the bat of Keston Hira.
Hira, that is deep into left center, got good wood on it, and it is going to fly out of here. Keston Hira goes deep. Back-to-back games for Hira. And it's 4-2 now. That's the second time Hira has hit home runs in back-to-back games.
And he got a slider. He was looking slider, I would imagine, and got really good wood on it. Kind of sounded, looked like he was a little bit out in front on his front foot a little bit, but he is strong. He kept those hands back and gave it a ride. That spin doesn't do a whole lot. Stayed down the middle. That's one-handed, man.
Tell you what.
That's some kind of swing. Big high leg kick, one-handed. He was out in front a little bit. And able to get it out into the bullpen.
Next level hitter right there to do that.
Right.
No doubt about it. Keston Hira now back-to-back multi-hit games, back-to-back games with home runs. Guess who's heating up, guys? Also, Christian Yelich heating up a little bit, as we all are well aware. And now that's going to really bode well a little bit for the Brewers' offense. It's certainly going to improve things, but... wow, it's tough. You know, you get the 9 runs yesterday, you go right back into the dumper here with a 2-run output, and they fall tonight 4-2, the final. 414-799-1250 if you want to jump in here. Again, we'll hear from manager Craig Counsell coming up. And Freddy Peralta, really the player of the game in my book. He comes in, this piggyback situation, looks like Craig Counsell's getting the hang of it just a little bit. You know, you've got a few options here. And honestly, I would put Brent Suter in that piggyback situation as well. But Corbin Burnes, Freddy Peralta, Brent Suter, these guys are there at a moment's notice to not only come in out of the bullpen, but as you saw with Corbin Burnes the other day, take it off the sheet, as you saw with Freddy Peralta tonight. Take it off the sheet. 4 innings of 8 strikeout, no run baseball out of the bullpen for Freddy Peralta. He is our Chevy MVB, brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. We'll take a break, get into our conversation a little bit more about the Brewers' offense and also about the St. Louis Cardinals situation, because we say day by day, you guys know that. I'm talking day by day, get another game, and you know, the season moves on. But each day that passes also really prolongs the solution for what the league is going to do with the St. Louis Cardinals. Going to be interesting for sure. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, Tim Allen. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set, 4-2 the final.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Each day that goes by the 2020 championship season, it further solidifies who you are. And after a Brewers 4-2 loss here in game one of the three-game set against the Minnesota Twins, not a good way to start out a really, really challenging week. Three against the Twins, four in Chicago against the Cubs. But you continually say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All right, so they've, through 14 games, they're averaging 3.8 runs a game. That's 3.8 runs per game. That's awful. Each day that goes by, it's a bigger picture of who you are. It's especially this year, especially with the game shrunk to 60, if indeed we get that far to 60. But 3.8 runs per game is not going to win you very many baseball games. It's got to change. It's got to change counts. It's got to change now. You don't have time to just lay it out there and just... Hey, you're the manager. You're going to do something. Now, if you ask my opinion, what I would do, and again, I'm a fan, but this is what I would do. There's no way in hell Justin Smoke would be batting higher than seventh in this configuration. I know you love him, dude. I know you think he can break out of it. I know he's a nice switch hitter, a crusty old veteran. Had some success before. That's where I'd start. That dude has popped in the middle of your order. Hitting .168. 50 at-bats. Guys, he's been to the plate 50 or more times. That's no small sample size anymore. And without Logan Morrison, if you haven't heard, he was DFA'd earlier today. Luis Urias called up in his place. But that's enough. That's enough sample size. That's a good chunk. 168 popped in the middle of your order. Your cleanup guy. With a .212 on-base percentage. Not that you're necessarily counting on Justin Smoke to set any sort of table here. You expect him to have some thump, to use a Craig Counsell vernacular. He's slugging .270. When he does hit, it's all base hits. I can get that out of my 7 or 8 hitter. So that's where you need to go. That's just me, though. That's my decision, if you're asking me. Counsell's decision to continually run this thing out there and have the same... You got to move Justin Smoke. You're going to have to bite the bullet and probably do a little... configuration swap between Yelich and Hira or Avisaíl Garcia. Those three got to be involved. Switch it up a little bit. Now, that's just me. Now, we'll see what Craig Counsell does because, again, each day, guys, each day that goes by, it's like a representation of a lot of games, of a lot of at-bats. You don't have time to screw around and sit around and say they'll come out of it. Consistently, just put him in good positions to succeed. That's what you do. That's what he does. That's what he normally does. Good. Justin Smoke cannot be right in the middle of this order. That's the one move I'd make tomorrow. I'm not saying bench him. Not at all. He's a switch hitter that, you know, can help you out a little bit at the lower portion of the order. But I'm not sure what Orlando Arcia did. What's Orlando batting? Austin, Texas. Let's check his batting average.
Let's see here. Orlando is batting .290 right now.
Yeah, he's at 290, and we're 14. The same 14 games in for Justin Smoke is 168.
He also has a higher on-base percentage at 333 and also a higher slugging percentage at 355.
Yeah. Well, now, the on-base is respectable. The slugging is what it is. But again, why is he supplanted in the nine hole? Just immediately he's ninth every time he's out there, Orlando Arcia. See, those are the types of things you're probably going to see some changes on. I would suspect you're going to see some changes. Probably with, if this continues at 3.8 runs per game, you're probably going to see some changes in, I would say, the next 5 to 7 games if this continues, because you have no choice by then. You would not have much time to figure this out. At that point, if it stays the same, guys, I'm just saying, let's fast forward here. Another 14 games. If you carbon copy this, now you're sitting at what, 12 and 16? Yeah, that's what it would be. 4 games under and on the verge of a 5 or 6 game funk and gone. So I would suspect in the next 5 to 7 games, if this continues. Yeah, we're going to take a break. And then we'll come back. If you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. There's been better nights. Reoccurring theme here, offense. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. They all can't be great pitchers against your offense every single night. I mean, tip your cap. I get that. But wow, another just 2-run output for the crew. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Hear from manager Craig Counsell coming up, Adrian Hauser as well, and get into the Cardinal conversation as well. Coming up here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Window Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Window Select today at 262-703-3500.
4-2, the final. Brewers fall in game one of this 3-game set against the cross-state rival. I guess you could say the Minnesota Twins. Twins are a good team. They moved to 11-6 on the season thus far. And Adrian Hauser, you know, he got in trouble in that third inning. We're going to hear from him in just a second. He ends up going 5 innings, allows the 4 runs, 1 swing of the bat, all 4, and 6 hits allowed. A little bit of bad luck in this one. But certainly wasn't nearly as sharp as he was last week against the White Sox. Let's hear from the Brewers right-hander.
Hey, Adrian, obviously that one pitch really hurt you today. Do you have any second guesses on the pitch, or was it just a matter of missing a location?
I thought it was an all right pitch in that situation, trying to get a rollover ground ball there. But, you know, I don't think I executed exactly like I wanted to. And looking back on it, maybe should have went sinker, you know, a stronger pitch. But you know, I still like the change up there, but you know, just didn't execute it like I wanted to.
Adrian, how hard is it when it's just one pitch that makes a difference in a game? I mean, you know, Freddie gave up nothing, you gave up nothing except for that one pitch. How hard does that make it to take?
It makes it a little bit harder, you know, but I think there's a few more pitches in there that, you know, let that inning kind of get out of hand before that one pitch. But you know, that one pitch, you know, I wish you could have it back, but, you know, live and learn, move on to the next one.
I don't know how much you got to see of Freddie's performance, but, you know, he had one of his electric games. When he's throwing the ball like that, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Freddie did a heck of a job, you know, coming in behind me, you know, didn't shy away and, you know, attacked him right away and, you know, did what he was supposed to do and did a heck of a job, you know, picked us up.
Adrian, you've been in that role, so you know the challenge of being on an uncertain schedule. Does that make it more impressive what Freddie did tonight and maybe what Corbin did on Saturday against the Reds?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you got to stay locked in the whole time, every game. You know, it's a little different, you know, for those guys, especially since there have been starters in the past and stuff like that. So, you know, being able to stay locked in like that is a huge part and know, Freddie did a heck of a job, like I said.
Adrian, before the game today, Craig said that you really couldn't ask for a better start than what you've had, and I'm sure you're frustrated by the change up to Rosario, but just overall, when you look at your first couple starts, where do you feel that you are to start the season?
You know, I think I'm off to a pretty good start, starting to get more comfortable out each time out on the mound and starting to get back into that groove like I was in last season. You know, just trying to take every outing and build off that and going into the next one.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
All right, 4-2, and the Brewers run their mark now to 6-8 here in the 2020 championship season. They fall by that final score, 4-2. You just heard from Adrian Hauser right there. You learn from outings like this. You know, when things start to snowball on you, and I think that's part of the maturation rate, if you will, and progression, if you will, that, you know, things do tend to get sideways. And some people say that baseball is a slow game. You know, it feels like just a couple of seconds and you got one in, one out, two on, and you're in all sorts of trouble. It happens slow in perception, but sometimes that can go real quick, and you just got to just chill and try and work your way out of it. Maybe that's the next thing Adrian Hauser will learn from this. Checking out the numbers here, Eric Sogard tonight, 0-for-3 with a walk. Keston Hira, 2-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. Second consecutive multi-hit game, second consecutive night with a long ball as well. Hitting now 268, that's a little more like it for the Brewers' number one draft choice. Christian Yelich tonight goes 1-for-4. Justin Smoke, 0-for-4 with another two strikeouts, close to 50 at-bats, 48 at-bats for Justin Smoke. He's hitting 168 and on base at .212, slugging .270. I mean, try and figure that out. Avisail Garcia in the game tonight, 1-for-4. Ben Gamel, 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts. Luis Urias, 1-for-4 with a run scored. Omar Narvaez, 1-for-3. Orlando Arcia goes 1-for-2 with an RBI double. Jed Jerko, 0-for-1. Pena, pinch hitter, 1-for-1. Brock Holt, 0-for-1. And same for Mathias, 0-for-1. Pitching lines tonight, Hauser, 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned with a walk and 4 strikeouts. Freddie Peralta, outstanding tonight. 4 innings, 1 hit, no runs, a walk, and 8 strikeouts of the 12 outs recorded for the Brewers' right-hander. That's big time. The Twins get 4 runs on just 7 hits. No errors. The Brewers 2 runs on 8 hits with 1 error. Dobnik with the win goes 3-1, and Hauser goes to 1-1. Rogers, his 4th save for the Minnesota Twins. As I said, the Brewers now 6-8 on the season, 14 games in. Double this pace. You know, you look at the pacing of this particular baseball season, every game worth, you know, whoever does the math and slices and dices all that stuff up, but a representation of just under 3 games for each one game this year. Yeah, I look at it one game at a time, regardless of, you know, a restricted schedule, if you will. But, you know, let's just say they repeat performance the first 14 games with the second 14 games. That would be a 12-16 mark. And, you know, that's the dangerous part of this thing is that, yeah, you're still in it 4 games under, but man, you can't afford a losing streak at that point. 2 games. I don't like being the 3 games under 500. 3 or 4 games under 500 is pretty close to a knockout punch. And so you got to bounce back. You got to bounce back, find a way, stay in this thing, go day to day. But if it does continue with this offense at this rate, Council doesn't have a choice but to go against his normal grain. And his normal grain, sometimes these managers, it takes a lot for those guys to gamble a little bit and to try something different. It takes a lot. There's so much trust, and rightly so, for most of the cases, that they trust their dudes. And I get that. But again, another 2 weeks goes by, and we have the same results here, averaging 3.8 runs a game. There's no question you got to do something different. 414-799-1250. Before we hear from Craig Council, I want to get to our gambling guy, Ron. Ron, what's happening? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Tim. Tough loss today, man. I don't know what to say. From a gambling perspective, the Brewers are now, if you count that Chicago four-game set as one series, the Brewers are 1-4 in game one of a series this year. I don't know. It's like if you're looking at for a betting trend. I mean, I think the positives for today, yeah, Peralta obviously was dominant, 8 strikeouts. I like the Fu Manchu for the Twins pitcher, you know, bringing back the old Stormin Gorman and
Pete
Bukovich. Yep. Look, you can, you know, us old guys can remember that.
We can relate to that, yeah.
Yeah, they should bring those Fu Manchus back, but I mean, there's no offense, man. You know, I just I need a hug, man. This is terrible.
Like, yeah, no, it is. But you do know that these guys, as I was saying before I brought you on, these guys as managers, they're so dedicated and loyal and trusting to these their players. And I understand that, and I know you do too. But everybody has the point in which you need to gamble. You do. It's not now. I'm not saying it's now. The only change I would make, Smoke, you can't be in the four hole. Counts, Smoke can't be batting fourth for you. Come on.
Yeah, I think he was trying to go with the hot hand. I mean, he had 3 hits yesterday, right? So,
yeah, he did.
But I agree with you. You know, he can't be in the four hole. But, I mean, who would you put in the four hole, Tim?
I think it's got to be Garcia, and you got to wait until this guy becomes what the back of his baseball card is, because that I'm convinced will happen. Smoke, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's the wild card here, but Garcia, his age, his back of it, like I said, his back of his baseball card, he should line out to about similar situations given some time. Now, if that doesn't work for a week, well, then there's even bigger problems.
Yeah, we need Braun back off the DL. I guess he was up in Appleton today taking some batting practice or something, you know.
Yep.
I mean, we need him back, you know. And
because Ben Gamble is starting to come back down to earth here.
Yeah, he's a streak hitter, and his streak is over. So.
Yep. All right. Ron, take it easy. Yeah, and Brewer fans, those of you that are following every pitch, those of you following every game, every situation, these things hurt. I'm, as you guys know, I'm way emotionally invested in all this stuff. There's no question. So I'm gonna float around like you know, emotional roller coaster. But I was saying the other day, Ben Gamble, the deal with him is he's a really good fourth or fifth outfielder. But when he's a starter, when he gets extensive playing time, guys, he's a streaky dude. He is, and we saw that last year. Despite having tremendous success last year, in a lot of cases, some big hits and big situations for this team last year. And again, he wasn't relied on every day for 4 ABs. And I think Ron's right. Ryan Braun is much needed. And he is getting some ABs in Appleton. I question whether or not he could have gotten these at-bats here. I do. A sim game, some live BP. Grab one of these guys from the alternate training site and come on down and early in the day pitch some live BP to him. I mean, he needs to be in this lineup. Even without the at-bats, he can't do much worse than some of these guys are doing. That's Ryan Braun right there. So I can't wait for him. I'd activate him tomorrow. He'd be in his car on his way back to Milwaukee right now if it were me. All right, 414-799-1250. We're going to hear from manager Craig Council up next. I do want to just mention that the St. Louis Cardinals situation, the pandemic baseball year, that's becoming interesting, and I just wonder if there's any solution to it. There has to be. They're going to have to make some sort of decision on this thing if it continues. Marlins, with the outbreak, they seem to have worked their way through it. Will the Cardinals do it? And if not, what's the solution to it? We'll talk more after we hear from Craig Counsell in just a couple of minutes here. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, after a game one loss to the Twins, 4-2 final.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
Craig, what do you think of the one? It looked like one pitch sort of changed the game. Are you okay with changeup there? And do you think it was just a mislocation?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, we're mixing it up. He's a good hitter, and the guy took a good swing on it. Absolutely have to. Right, good pitch. Got to throw changeups to the lefties, and guy took a good swing. Good hitter took a good swing.
Craig, we talked about their starter this afternoon. He kept the ball down again, and you guys didn't really get a whole lot going. That first inning seemed to set a bad tone. You had two on, no outs, and get a run in.
Yeah, I mean. We've got to score in the first inning, I think. We've got to not, even second and third, one out, there's an opportunity for a run there, an easy run. And that's a place where, we've got to just put one run on the board at least there. That's important. That's where a strikeout hurts, and a strikeout is against a guy that we can put the ball in play against. It hurts right there. So, yeah, that was I think at this point we have not done a good job in the first inning when I think starters are uncomfortable a little bit, and we've had a bunch of rallies that we just haven't capitalized in the first inning this year. I'm not sure that we've scored in the first inning yet. That's always, it's generally a pretty good inning to score with the guys you got at the top of the order, and the starter usually off for the last 4 days and still settling in. It's something we haven't been able to take advantage of.
That was a kind of a brilliant outing by Freddie. I mean, we've seen him do that before where he just kind of overpowers hitters, and he did so again tonight.
He was outstanding. I thought everything was working. Located really all three pitches very well. His fastball was just crisp and in good spots. That's seven left-handed hitters. He went through them. I think he faced nine left-handed hitters tonight. So out of 11 hitters, so I thought he was brilliant, really. It's one of the best games we've seen him pitch.
Craig, when you go into a game like this, does Freddie know that he's coming in second on a day like today, or is it like any other reliever reading the game?
No, he, I think we're going to, when you pitch, these guys have pitched like this, they're going to have certain days off, and then they become available, and we just kind of see how the game goes.
Craig, I know it's tough to single out one hitter when so many are scuffling overall, but do you feel like you need to get Avi going? I know you'd love to have him in the middle of the lineup doing some damage, and he just really hasn't been able to do much recently.
Yeah, I think any team depends on the middle of their lineup to add to the offense. That's why they're there. So, I thought Avi took some good swings tonight. He hit a ball really hard in the first inning that didn't get any results. We need Avi going. We need Justin going. We need, we need those guys going for sure. Those guys are hitting in the middle of the lineup because they've been big run producers throughout their careers. And so certainly we need those guys going.
How'd you like Urias? You got to play him both at second and short, right? Yeah. Did you like what you saw from him?
Yeah, I mean, it's game one, and we'll move on from there.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Very interesting from Craig Counsell is what he was talking about in that first inning. And that's interesting where he's right in that, you know, you got a starting pitcher on both sides, obviously, that are just sort of settling in. And, you get them on the ropes a little bit. And that's been a common theme here this year, that first inning, you get the table set and you can't come up with a hit. So in this case, in tonight's ball game, Eric Sogard draws a walk because that's what Eric Sogard does. And Keston Hira comes up with a base hit to set the table for your 3-4-5 guys. Your three guy moves the runners over. Okay, the semi-productive AB from Christian Yelich. But what was interesting with Craig Counsell is when he specifically talked about an at-bat right there for Justin Smoke. And that's what we started the show with. Justin Smoke, I'm sorry, until you start hitting the ball, getting the ball in play, you can't bat fourth. And I think Counts is aware of it. It's not going to last much longer. If at all tomorrow, it may change. Switch hitters so you don't have to, worry about a lefty-righty situation. But you got to get a ball in play. Craig Counsell rarely talks about an at-bat that early in a baseball game. Very rarely, if ever. I thought that was super interesting. All right, National League Central scoreboard. There's nothing to report outside the Brewers score here. 4-2, they fall. St. Louis still in the pandemic situation, the COVID situation, I should say. And no game for the Reds, Cubs, or Pirates today. And then about the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not sure if there's a solution. The only thing I can say is this. The Brewers have now 14 games. The Cardinals have 5. So there's your comparison right there. And we can go all over the road. Some people have a few more than the Brewers. But let's just go with that. Cubs are down a few games as well now. But attainable to get back some of these games made up, doubleheaders, off days, whatever you got to do. That's attainable. That's within reason. The St. Louis Cardinals now 11 games back of, 10 games back or so of the Brewers. So how do you make those up in a short amount of time here in 40 whatever days it is, 43, 44 days? I think the only solution may be is to do a combination of at the back end of this season, if those games with the St. Louis Cardinals mean something to the Cardinals and the opponents, then you're going to have to play some of those to get to a minimum. This is where Rob Manfred needs to come on in and say, all right, here's the deal. If there's another outbreak now, first of all, if there's another outbreak, I'm not sure baseball survives the season. If there's a multiplayer outbreak somewhere and a week's worth of games are shut down because of it, I'm not sure they make it back out because it is a spider web situation. It's just webs all over the place. You've got to make these games up. Your opponents aren't going to play, and then they've got to make those games. It's just a little bit messy that way. So Manfred's got to step in right now and say, here's the deal. We've put together a formula here. And we've put the threshold at you have to hit a minimum of whatever it might be, 48 games of the 60. We have to get to that mark for every team. Unless those to make up those games mean nothing to that team and the opponent. I think that's the difference that you got to hit a minimum threshold and then you find out if the games mean something, and then you'll have to make them up on the back half. To me, that makes sense. I don't know the exact number you would have to hit, but just for the sake of the conversation, let's say it's 48. It's minus 12 of your 60. Okay. Well, then every team has to get to 48, and I think that's attainable, even if there is another outbreak. multiple players, 3, 4, 5, 6 days worth of baseball lost. It's still attainable, the 48 mark. So I think that's what the league needs to come out with now, stay ahead of this. And for all I know, they already have. And they just haven't announced that. So we don't know the inner workings and behind the scenes, but you know they're intelligent people and they're figuring this stuff out. Does that make sense? Austin, does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I mean, I don't see any other solution. This whole solution of just disbanding the St. Louis Cardinals for this year, that makes no sense to me. Why? How is that fair to the Cardinals?
Yeah, I don't know how you could just vacate a whole team.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you can't just ban them from the league for having a COVID outbreak. Because, quite frankly, the reality is we don't know where that outbreak came from. You can talk all day long about whether there was rumors of them being here or there in the city of Milwaukee or elsewhere. We don't know. You don't know. You don't know where the Marlins necessarily got it. You just don't know. It could have been a family member that was at the store. Who knows with this stuff? So that's why I think it's a little unfair to just remove them from the league. So hit a minimum games of the 60. Hey, crazy times. We're already sideways in the season. It's already, you know, new extra inning rules and double headers are 7 innings, just like in some of the college programs. And you know, there are universal DH, so no pitchers are not going to hit. So all this stuff is going on at the same time. Why wouldn't you then get the plan of, okay, we see how this is working. For when did we get this thing going? Nationals fired things up on the 23rd of July. So here we are, August 10th. We're 2.5 weeks in. That's a decent sample size of a 2-month season. We're into our third week of baseball. I think they can figure out that, okay, here's the landscape. Here's the lay of the land. We had an outbreak in Miami. We had an outbreak in St. Louis. However, the success stories with other singular players that have tested positive, everyone else is negative. They sit 14 days. They come back. And a lot of these guys are back up and playing. So we kind of see how this thing is working. To me, that makes sense. I don't know. Speaking of COVID positive, Luis Urias showed up at summer camp with a positive test, and he had been coming off a wrist injury, a long battle back, and he finally gets the all clear to train at the alternate training site in Appleton. Very excited, super excited to get up. A tick earlier than I thought he'd make it up, maybe by the end of the week is what I was thinking, but he was back up today. Logan Morrison was DFA'd, and Urias activated into the starting lineup immediately, wearing jersey number 2, by the way. That's cool. I like that. And gets a base hit in his first at-bat. We're going to hear from the Brewers infielder, shortstop, second baseman, middle infielder, let's say. Up next here, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers fall tonight, 4-2.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Still getting a little bit of a kick out of Craig Counsell's comments about a specific at-bat in the first. Man, that's rare. Guys, just is. I wonder if a change is coming. We'll see. The Brewers fall tonight 4-2, the final 6-8 mark now here in the 2020 championship season. But we take it day by day. You guys know that. As we move along here in the season, 14 games in, and Luis Urias, as I said before the break, a long road traveled to get on back up to the big leagues. His minor league numbers, guys, we may take a peek at those in just a bit here, but big league numbers in a half a year, and not so redeeming for Luis Urias, but his minor league numbers has hit pretty well. And I really like this kid, and I think you know, with the Zach Davies-Trent Grisham deal, with those two going to San Diego in return for Eric Lauer and this Luis Urias, I think he is the main guy in that deal. I do. Although I like Eric Lauer, but Luis Urias, I think he is the higher ceiling, the upside for the middle infielder. Here's what he had to say after playing his first game in a Brewers uniform, getting his first hit.
How good did it feel to finally just get onto a field and play in a game?
It feels great. You know, it's been a tough day, a tough year. But, I mean, finally I'm here with the team. I'm very excited to be here in Milwaukee. But like I say, it's been a tough year, and I'm very happy to be here.
Luis, how frustrating was that virus thing? I mean, you had it for a long time. It looked like it was hard for you to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was tough, you know. Obviously, I wanted to be out there with the guys, you know, getting better. And I think everybody's going through the same problem. I mean, everybody could get it. But like I say, it's tough, that's in the past. And like I said, I'm happy to be here and looking forward to, you know, to get better and help the team to win.
Luis, are you willing to tell us what your experience was with the virus? Like, how were you sick, or did you have no symptoms the whole time?
I didn't have any symptoms at all. I remember when I got tested, I felt like I had some allergies. You know, my eyes they were super red. But I mean, thanks God, didn't hit me hard. You know, that's all I got from the virus. So I mean, it could be worse.
Luis, buenas noches. Preguntarte cómo fue para ti este primer juego. Lo vi que lo dices en inglés, pero que nos platiques un poquito lo raro que es para ti después de prácticamente todo el año sin jugar pelota. Primero por la lesión, luego por lo del virus que no te dejó jugar ni siquiera ni sprint training ni summer camp. ¿Cómo fue para ti hoy poderte poner el uniforme y estar de vuelta en un campo de Grandes Ligas?
Sí, como tú dijiste, pasé por muchas cosas, ¿no? Para este día, creo que han sido alrededor de 7 meses, creo que fue mi último juego en la Liga de Invierno en México. Pero se siente demasiado bien volvernos, agradecido con Dios de tenerme aquí con esta oportunidad con los cerveceros y pues a dar lo mejor.
¿Sabes si la segunda base es tuya o vas a ser utility? ¿Te han dicho qué planes tienen para ti o vas día con día?
Pues yo digo que aquí la mayoría vamos día con día, ¿no? Entonces, en lo personal, a enfocarme en mejorar cada día y cualquier posición que me pongan a jugar, yo estoy abierto para lo que sea.
Gracias.
Luis, that whole time you were on the injured list, where did you spend it? Where were you and what were you doing?
I spent it in Milwaukee. So the first day that I got here, I got tested. Like I said, I don't have like a lot of symptoms, so that is why I flew in. But I mean, I think it was the second day that I got tested. So I was just staying at my apartment in Milwaukee. And yeah, it was like I say, it was some tough days, some good days, but I'm good to I'm grateful to be here.
Luis, we heard a great story from Sophia on the broadcast that you were trying to find some parks to work out at. Can you tell us about that?
Sorry, what was that? Some parks?
Yeah, were you trying to find some parks, some outdoor spaces to get a workout in?
Yeah, I found like 5 different places because, you know, I couldn't be there, and I was being there and some guys they kicked me out of the place, so I had to, you know, jumping around and try to find a place nobody was there, you know. Obviously, I remember going out when after the 15 days, the 15 day, the doctor said that I couldn't go out. So that is why I was trying to stay away from the people. But yeah, it was, I mean, it was fun, good experience, but I know it was hard to me, but like I said, we're here and not happy.
Luis, what were your emotions tonight going out there on the field, finally putting your Brewers uniform on and playing in a game? What was your emotions? Were you excited? Were you anxious? Just what were you feeling?
Yeah, I was pretty excited, you know. I remember the last time that I came here, I was with the Padres, and obviously it was everybody in here, you know, the crowd is so loud, so obviously I miss the fans. But like I said, I went through a lot the whole year, and I'm just excited to be here.
Thanks very much.
Hey Luis, how prepared were you? How prepared did you feel to play? How ready were you? And what all did you do in Appleton to kind of prepare yourself for this?
I would say I feel 100% ready, you know. Like I said, it's been a tough year. My body feels great, and I think I took around 50 ABs in Appleton. So, like I said, I feel like I'm 100% to go.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
All right, there he is, Luis Urias. And, yeah, I'm going to, you know, you would say that the spark of the game would be Freddy Peralta. He already got one. He got the Chevy MVP of the game. Four innings of scoreless relief. One hit given up and eight strikeouts. But spark of the game, sparking up a Brewers career is Luis Urias as he stepped up to the plate for his first AB.
I'm sure he's got some nerves flowing today here, though, as he shoots one into right field. How about that piece of hitting?
Yeah, nice.
So a little pepper there by Luis Urias and a single to right.
Yeah, pitch and run, pulled the hands in, just shot it into right. Not trying to do too much, just putting the ball in play. There's a good start to his season. Batting 1,000. Beautiful piece of hitting by Luis Urias.
Get that one out of the way.
Pulled the hands in and just able to get the barrel of the bat on it and shoot it into right.
That's a great hitting lesson right there.
A younger dude at 23 years old, but has some experience in the minor leagues, spanning over 5 years in the minors, is a lifetime minor league hitter. And again, granted, minor leagues, over 300, 308. But his on-base percentage, it appears to me, just based on looking at some of these numbers, his OBP upwards of 390-plus in the minors. So it looks to me like he's got a pretty disciplined eye at the plate as well. Now, as a big league, again, you're looking at limited at-bats. Craig Counsell has said over the course of time that 1,000 to 1,500 big league at-bats is a good sample size to take a look at things. And his sample is nowhere near that, just a 221 hitter in leagues. But keep your eyes on Luis Urias. I think you're going to like this kid. I do, just based on everything we're reading about him and the numbers, of course. He gets a hit tonight in his first Brewers at-bat. The Brewers fall in this one, 4-2 final. And We'll come back, and just final couple of words. I wish I could give you a pitching matchup, but the Twins are being a little coy about who's going to start for those guys tomorrow. I've said this before. It's sort of a gentleman's agreement in baseball that you kind of announce the series starters prior to the series. If it were me, unless it's a rule, I'm not announcing anything. You can check my lineup card when I release that. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers fall 4-2. That is the final right here. AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hira, that is deep in the center, got good wood on it, and it is going to fly out of here. Keston Hira goes deep. Back-to-back games for Hira. And it's 4-2 now. That's the second time Hira has hit home runs in back-to-back games.
And he got a slider. He was looking slider, I would imagine, and got really good wood on it. Sounded, it looked like he was a little bit out in front on his front foot a little bit, but he is strong. He kept those hands back and gave it a ride. That spin didn't do a whole lot. Stayed down the middle. That's one-handed, man.
Tell you what.
That's some kind of swing. Big high leg kick, one-handed. He was out in front a little bit and able to get it out into the bullpen.
Next level hitter right there to do that.
Right.
That highlight from Fox Sports Wisconsin, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. After a Brewers 4-2 loss, game one of a three-game set to the Minnesota Twins, the Brewers with the loss 6-8. And there you just heard Keston Hira hit that home run. Keston's starting to heat up, guys. Yelly's starting to heat up. All good signs. I think you're probably seeing what Sogard is going to provide this offense. And I think getting on bases is key. So the trick is he going to be the leadoff hitter on a regular basis? Lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. That remains to be seen a little bit. But it's a great sign. In fact, on the On Deck show today, I mentioned in yesterday's game the fact that Hira and Yelich combined were 5-for-8. Five knocked in, a couple of homers, a triple, a couple of walks, five runs scored. That is key. And now we're just starting to scratch the surface of these two guys being who they really are. And they are fantastic hitters. And that includes Keston Hira. I mean, get used to that, Brewers fans, because with the half year, what we saw last year out of Keston Hira and his career, his big league career just getting going, just wait. He is... I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of him in the two hole, but just get used to him batting in the top of the order and being major production, being a major production guy. 268 now is batting average. Now again, heard Uke talking about this, that your batting average can change so much this early in the year. Well, we're starting to get to a chunk of games where Yelly, you need to start working your way up here a little bit quicker, and that way you can settle in. But these two guys starting to heat up, you can tell. Give me one more then. And give me one more between, you know, a Justin Smoke or a Avisail Garcia. I mean, somebody else to get hot a little bit, because then you're going to start putting some runs on the board. You will, and these games are going to be close. Back on the pitching front, tomorrow's matchup, Josh Lindblom comes in with a 4.15 ERA. His last time out against the White Sox on the 6th, went five innings of two-run ball. That was a really nice performance out of Josh Lindblom. Looking forward to seeing that tomorrow. But, you know, the offense is going to have to do it. The starters, the relievers, holding you in baseball games, man. And that's just fact. And you would hate to see a postseason berth that goes to the wayside because of offense. This team was put together, maybe not necessarily for home runs. I understand that part of it with the assembly of this team. I didn't expect a ton of homers, a fair amount of home runs. You do have Keston Hira and Christian Yelich in your lineup. You do have a 20-homer Narvaez, a 20-homer in Garcia, but I did expect the ball in play. And the amount of strikeouts, that obviously is going to have to change. But what a shame if that's the reason they did not hit the postseason for the third consecutive year, which would be a first in franchise history. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you tomorrow for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show prior to game two. Lindblom on the hill. And again, as I said, I wish I could tell you who the Twins are starting, but that's to be determined. And that'll get underway at 6:00, right after the Wendy's Big Show. And after the last pitch, you make the switch, hopefully with different results. This is all about the offense. And we'll see you tomorrow night Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Also, maybe a little bit of a combination between Sparky and myself again. We heard that the other night. Bucks are in play tomorrow night as well against the Wizards. So the shows may overlap, and you might get another Tim and Sparky reunion show tomorrow night. Looking forward to that as well. For Austin, Texas, producer of the show tonight, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show at 6. In the meantime, smile, Milwaukee. Despite the outcome, the world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.